I'm really pleased to participate with this event. I'm a Native American, enrolled on the Umatilla tribe, which is located in northeastern Oregon, and we adopted a constitution and bylaws in 1949, so it's principally three tribes, the Umatilla, the Walla Walla, and the Cayuse. And after the constitution was adopted, we became known as the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation. And that's where I was born. I was born on Umatilla Reservation in 1949. I was brought into life by a midwife on the southern part of the reservation at a place called Mackay Creek, Oregon. And my father's family is of Umatilla descent, and my mother's side of the family is of Palouse descent. And I was raised on the northern part of the reservation along a river that flows out of the Blue Mountains. And the Blue Mountains run in the south-west to northeast direction. And there's a valley that comes right through the heart of the reservation and flows in, and intersects with the Columbia River about 40, 45 miles distance from the Blue Mountains to the Columbia River. And I was on the upper part of the Umatilla River. That's where my family had moved. And it was a tradition for the, in our tribe, for the husband to move into the his wife's family. And so that's what happened. And we lived on a land that belonged to my mother's side of the family on the north side of the Umatilla River. And so that's where I was raised after grew up until about 10 years old. My grandfather passed away, and then in the 1960s, my grandmother passed away, and so that was the part of my upbringing was through my mother's side of the family. And I didn't have very much knowledge about my father's side because they were all gone before I grew up. And so living along a river, that really shaped my character and the traditions that my family had honored and respected, because our religion is based on the foods of the land. And so I was raised to fish and to hunt along this river, and to be a provider. That was a teaching, and I received my first name when I was 5 years old from my grandfather, and it was a big encampment when I was a boy, and we used to move into this encampment across the river from where I was raised at, called the Mission Agency, where the current BIA's Bureau of Indian Affairs offices are located now in our tribal headquarters. But there used to be a big circle of teepees in my day, and there was a big tent at the center where all the ceremonies took place, and that's where I received my first name. In Plateau culture, both gender roles, both male and female, get two names. And so my first name was Kwaechum, and it's like K-W-A-Y apostrophe I-T-S-A-M, Kwaechum, and that means going through the woods stealthy as a hunter, and that's the interpretation that I learned from my family. And so in my boyhood, that was a big part of my life, was being involved with my family. The men fished and hunted together, and And my grandmother and my mother were all food gatherers. The roots that grew in the mountains and the huckleberries that were in the mountains were a big part of our life. So that's how it came out. Salmon were recognized as a big law, and the deer was the second big law, and then the roots were the third big law, and the berries were the fourth big law, and that was our life that sustained us based on our religious values, and it's commonly called the Seven Drums Religion. But that was the upbringing I had as a boy. And the big celebration about the big encampment disappeared in about the 1953, 1954. And at that time, it was a lot of the big leaders were beginning to pass away as well. And so there was a real change at that point as I grew up. We were making a transition to a new governance system, which was the Constitution and bylaws, and the traditional leadership roles were beginning to disappear with their passing, and they were never included within that Constitution that was developed by the tribe. So I learned that all of the traditional roles were carried on by the various families, and who knew their family background. And they had different roles, like the whip man, the whip woman. There were chieftainship roles. There were people who were in charge of giveaways. The women leaders were very important for food gathering. There was so that's the way it was when I grew up. And I went to government school when I was in the first grade, and then we were sent to the public schools, which was right near our reservation. There was a city of Pendleton was 6 miles away from our reservation. We were bused into town to go to school. And so in those years, the Bureau of Indian Affairs put a lot of emphasis on teaching us the white man ways, and it really impacted our traditions. And there was really a learning gap that was created a cleavage, you know, like a wedge between the elders and the young people. And there was nothing in the schools that taught us about our culture. It was in the home. So I was fortunate to have knowledge about our family traditions through our extended family. But that's how it was in those days. I graduated from high school, and I was a firefighter, worked for the U.S. Forest Service, and I was a smoke jumper in McCall, Idaho from 1966 to 1969. And after those years, I got hurt real bad in firefighting or smoke jumping, and so I went to school, and that's where I went to college, undergraduate school. La Grande, Oregon, Eastern Oregon State College, as called today. And I graduated from there in 1974. I went to a police academy in 1975. And I went to a teacher training certification at Oregon State University in 1976 and 1977. And I went back to the Forest Service and Cultural Resource Management in the early 1980s. And I decided to go for my master's degree at Oregon State University. And I attended school in 1987. And I was 47 years old at the time. And I graduated with my master's degree from Oregon State University in 1992. And I found my way to a job, a co-curator for a special project on Plateau Woman, emphasis on weaving. And that's how I came to Washington State University. I met some real nice people who were my friends, and there was an application available for Native Americans in the music department, so I applied for it. and I earned that special scholarship, and that's how I came to Washington State University, and I started school in 1995, and not knowing how demanding that the doctoral study program was in interdisciplinary studies that I was in, and I just graduated last winter, 2004, with my doctoral degree in interdisciplinary studies. But that was pretty much the story of my background, my education. I still travel back and forth from Pullman here at Washington State University, and I go home and take part with my traditions. I was brought up to respect my elders, and I've been a long-standing member of our cultural committee and cultural activities on the Umatilla Reservation. And not only there, but my mother's side of the family were closer related to the Priest Rapids Longhouse along the Columbia River near the Tri-Cities. And my family takes part with that longhouse as well as at home on the Umatilla Reservation. I'm working as the interim director for the Plateau Center for Native American Studies here at Washington State University. And once we hire a permanent director, this coming spring 2006, the university had made a commitment to keep me on the faculty, and I'll be teaching a music class on Native American culture, and also I'll have an option to develop a class designed around contemporary issues. And so I am a long-standing advocate for traditions for our young people, and I spend most of my young life devoting myself to working with young people. And I advocate traditions for them as much as possible. I think that's something that's important for the young people. We have no right to deny them, you know, the right to learn about who they are and their culture. And this has been the aim of the federal government, was to take our traditions and our culture away from us. And now we're suffering the consequences of that by having all the social ills that we have today. But we can try and restore what we have with our traditions and how we relate to our Creator and this land as Indian people. And that's so important for our young people, and making sure that they're going to be the traditional bearers for the future. But it's up to us to teach them as much as we could. So that's where I'm at. I'm here at Pullman, Washington. And my Indian name is my second name I received in 1976. And it's Itkut Twin. It's I-T-X for the phoneme for sound. Itkut U-U-X-U-T-W-I-N. And it's a Palouse name. And my grandfather had the name, and he received it from his uncle. From Nespelem, Washington, out of that Palouse band that was with the Joseph Band. And so that's where I received my second name. And so I try my best. The name is ahead of me. I'll never really earn it, but it's interpreted to mean one who leads. And so I will try my best to honor it and work the best I could to serve Indian youth, no matter where they're at. We're all Indian people, and we're obligated to ensure that our young people receive an education. So that, I don't really consider myself a knowledgeable person about traditions, but I try to practice as much as I could what I've learned from my family elders. My wife is the traditional Whip-Woman for our tribe, and she's been as long as we've been married. she was given that role by an elder who had passed away, but she wanted to ensure that that tradition was passed on. And so ultimately, it'll go to our daughter if she assumes the role and takes the responsibility, but that's how it is. The life, the roles are chosen for a lifelong. They're taken for life, and you do your best to serve the needs of your people. So that's what I was brought up to do, is to always, you know, seek the welfare of the people and do all that you could, because we're only here in this life for a brief time.